Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. Can I get a shout? Praise the Lord. I praise and thank God for this blessed morning time that God has given in our life to come today and worship and to praise Him in His truth. It's just because of God's love that we are here today morning. It's so beautiful to be here to worship His holy name. As we were in the praise and worshiping, it says, when we were worshiping, it says about the truth of God, the love of God, the everlasting hands of God, which gives us the strength and the power. And we were praising and exalting the name of God. As I am standing here now, many of you have understood. When I came here, somebody are asking, Riju uncle, why you are not wearing mundu today? So now you understood why you are not wearing mundu today. Because this gives me a little more comfortable to stand here and say the message which God has given to my heart. It's just because, as I told, because of God's love that we are here today morning. Just because of our grace. I was just today morning when I was just meditating on the word of God. I was singing from the last time when I said the message. And to coming here today, in between this, how much of calamities happened in this world. How much of people left from this world. I know personally two or three people who are on to their deathbed. It's so irritating that many things have happened. Calamities have happened in this world. But God kept us safe for a purpose. And God has brought us safe here to exalt and to praise and exalt His holy name. It's just as I told you, it's just because of God's love that we are here today morning. As I was meditating today in the presence of God, we are all here because of some certain decisions. Some of the kids, many of the kids, the youth here, because you are here at this moment because of some certain decisions which your parents made. They were in some other parts of the world. They were in India. They were in North India or in Kerala. They were in Gulf countries. They were in other parts of the world. But they took a decision to come to Canada to settle because they need to give their kids a good future. That's why they came here so that you could be here in this land. So they took a decision. As we go into the Word of God, we know that if you serve the Old Testament, we can see that many forefathers, many of your ancestors, they took some decision and because of that decision, a new chapter in the Bible opened up. If you look into the life of Abraham, when Abraham was called in chapter 12 by God to set out from his family, to set out from his land, to go to a land that God is going to call him, he obeyed. He took a decision and that decision of Abraham opened up a new chapter in the Bible. We also know that Abraham's son Isaac, he took a decision when his father went to the mount to offer a sacrifice. He took a decision to be obedient to the father, and because he was obedient to the father, a new chapter opened up in the Bible. We know about Joseph. We know about Joseph, how many calamities, how many problems he had to go through in his life, but he took a decision to be steadfast in the love of God, to be faithful in the presence of God. Because of his decision, a new chapter opened up in the Bible. We know about Moses. He was wandering in the desert. God called him. He said many times, "No, God, I am a person who is shortness of the tongue. I don't want." But he obeyed to God and he took a decision. Because of his decision, we read in the Bible that he is one of the prophets that have never been. We are never seen in the world. He rescued a large people from the hands of the Egyptians. So we can see that many people took a decision and that changed the whole history. In the same way, after 2,000 more than years after Isaac was obedient to his father Abraham, there was a father in heaven who took a decision to send his son into this world. And that is why you and me are here. Jesus was obedient to the decision of the father to come into this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that we will be saved from our sins. We were all sinners. Our forefathers sinned. We were all gone astray. But he came down into this world. And Jesus was obedient to the cross up to the point of death. And because of that decision, you and me are here to praise God. Thank you. Say a shout amen to that. Because me and you are here because Jesus Christ took up that decision to go up to that cross and die for you and me. And because of his death, because of his resurrection, we are here today morning to praise and exalt his holy name. He doesn't want anything from us. He doesn't want any material things from us. He wants our decision to be obedient to the word of God. He wants our decision to praise him every time. He leaves on the praises of his people. And today, what God has given me to put my heart is from the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 21. So I don't have time to read the whole verses from 14 to 21. So if you read the book of Ephesians. You can all look here. So there's the book of Ephesians. We know that in the New Testament, Paul wrote around 14 books. And one of the book is Ephesians. It is the 10th book in the New Testament and the 49th book in the whole Bible. So if you say about an introduction of Ephesians, it was written by Paul when he was in the prison. There are four prison epistles, and one of them is the book of Ephesians. The others are Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And the fourth one is Ephesians. There are four books which was written by Paul in prison. That's why this is called a prison epistle. It is considered one of the prison epistles. Out of these 14, out of the four epistles, this is one of the prison epistles. The first three chapters deals with God's creation. It's God's creation to humanity and how he saved us from our sins. Even if it is for Gentiles, even if it is for Jews, everyone who have this faith are saved through Jesus Christ. And the other half, there are six chapters, and the other three chapters deals with our spiritual growth in Jesus Christ. How to be holiness, in our perseverance, in our spiritual warfare. That's why it in Ephesians is saying, put on the whole armor of God. So the first three chapters deals with God's creation to humanity, why he saved us, why he gave his son Jesus Christ. And the other three chapters deals with how we need to live a spiritual life in this world. And also we can see when Paul wrote or how is Paul's connection with Ephesus. We can see in the book of Acts chapter 8 if you read and also in the book of Acts chapter 19 verses I think 1 to 41, the whole chapter, we can see that Paul went to Ephesus during his second missionary journey. He stayed there a few months, and during his third missionary journey, he stayed there for more than 2 years. But at that time, he saw many people converting to Christ, converting to being Christians. At the same time, he also had to face oppositions at there. We know of a famous silversmith, Demetrius, who was a silversmith, and he was making crafts and idols for the temple of Diana. And when he saw that his crafts and his business is going down, he went to the elders. And he made up a huge uproar against Apostle Paul. He said that Paul is coming and converting many to Christians, and our business is going down, and that's one of the main business of this land. So we need to fight against it. And he took a lot of people behind him, and they made a loud uproar against Apostle Paul. But we know that Apostle Paul escaped from there, but still the church in Ephesus grew. And also we see about this church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. This was the first church where John addressed whatever the Holy Spirit gave to him. There were seven churches, but Ephesus was the church which was first addressed to in the book of Revelation. So this is just a background of the book of Ephesus. Now we are going to read chapter 3 verses 14 to 17. So somebody can read for me chapter 3 verses 14 to 17. So for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look into the Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is saying about some mystery in the first 15 verses, and then he's doing a prayer for the church of Ephesus. That's why he's saying, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that kneeling knees, if you study from the Word of God, we see that a lot of people kneel in the presence of God. We know Daniel kneeled, Jesus kneeled, Peter, Paul, everybody kneeled in the presence of God. And if you continue that verse, it says that from the whole family in heaven and earth. So I was interested in the whole family in heaven and earth. So when I read about it in the commentary Bible, it is saying Jesus, God has some of his family in heaven and part of the family is in earth. If you go and read in the book of Acts, you can get verses from there. So part of the family is here in heaven. We are all that in that part, but part of the family is in heaven with him. And then when we continue the reading, he's praying for the church of Ephesus. And the prayer of Ephesus, of Paul to the church of Ephesus, it goes from verses onwards, from 16 onwards till the verse 19. So when I was reading it, I got just three points which I need to share with you today morning. So as we continue the reading, we read that would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in power or might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So the first point that I want to share with you. If Paul was praying for power or strength for the people of Ephesus. They need that power. They need that strength. And he's specifically saying there, through your faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. So when I was meditating on this, rooted and grounded in love. So we can see when we came here, we see a lot of trees. We saw plants. And we saw how beautiful it is. You know, when you were coming, I know many of you were coming, you said, oh, how beautiful is this tree? How beautiful is this plant? They are all beautiful, but they are rooted and grounded somewhere. If some big, you know, wind comes, if there is no root, it can just fall off like that. But it is deep, rooted, and grounded in God's love. This is what Paul wants them to be there. He needs that power. You have to be rooted and grounded in God's word. And that's what Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus. We know of the story of the wise man and the foolish man. Of the foolish man, right? They built a house, and the wise man built it on a strong foundation, but the foolish man built it upon a sand. And what happened when the winds or the waves came? The wise man's house stood there because it was on a strong foundation. It was rooted and grounded in a strong foundation, but the foolish man's house fell down. In the same way, we see this beautiful church here. It has a beautiful foundation. It has a strong foundation down. And that's why we are seeing this beautiful building. In the same way, Apostle Paul wants the church of Ephesus to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. As in Jeremiah 17:7-8, it reads, blessed is the one whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water. The seeds out its roots by the stem. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. So when we are rooted in God, in the word of God, we will not be fear of anything. Many things may come into our life, but if we are rooted in the word of God, we need to get that power from God. In my last message, I told you about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you all know that one. So we need to have that word of God, the power of the Spirit in us, to be rooted and grounded so that we grow up in God's love. And that's what God expecting from each one of us each day. We need to have a strong foundation to grow up in Christ. So the first prayer that Apostle Paul makes is there for a prayer for power for the church of Ephesus. Paul, we can hear that Paul is talking about the power we need to attain by deep rooting and grounded in Christ. And that means to have a Christ-centered life, to have a Christ-centered life in our hearts. Power, or we can say that power to do that what we can by the presence of God. That we need that power each day in our life. But how to achieve this power? How can we achieve this power in our life? So there are three basic things which I wrote. And when I came here and when the youths were singing the song, I found that whatever I wrote, how to attain that power, they are singing there. First one, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The first one is the joy of the Lord is our strength. And how we read this verse in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. We can see that after the walls were built up by Nehemiah and the people, and all the Israelites, they came from exile because they were dispersed because of the sins that they had done. And God, you know, just dispersed them off. But when the wall was built and when they all came back, they knew where to go back. And what happened? Ezra, the high priest, he opened the book and he began to read the book. And when the people heard this, they were overjoyed. They began to cry. And they began to mourn and cry. And at that time, Nehemiah, who was the governor of the land, he rose up. And that's why we read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Can somebody read Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10? The joy, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because Nehemiah knew, and he's telling, do not mourn, go and celebrate. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. He knew that we need to celebrate. We need to joy ourselves in the presence of the God. It is a call to our confidence in God. We need to have full confidence in God. We need to fully presence, enjoy the presence of God. And that's why Nehemiah is saying, we read there that they went and celebrated for 7 days. And all the 7 days, Ezra was reading from the word of God. And when they heard the word of God, they were filled with joy. They were filled in the spirit. They knew whatever the sins they committed, and that's why they mourned and they were joyful in the presence of God. Dear children of God, what we can learn from here is the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we please God with our life, if we look up to Him, if we are grounded and rooted in God's love, In, and there lies the joy of the strength that we can obtain. So always look to the word of God so that we will be strengthened by him in the days to come. The second thing of how to get this power is God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. So first one I told, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We get that power from enjoying ourselves by pleasing God in our lives. The second thing is God is our refuge and strength. Psalms 46 verses 1 to 3. So Psalms 46 is a verse which gives us confidence and strength in the Lord. We know David, he had to go through many difficulties in his life. He wrote everything into Psalms. It even refreshes us these days, right? So here he's saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So even though the earth be moved from there, even though the mountains be moved from there, we will not be afraid because he is our refuge and strength. On what basis was he writing this one? You know, if you look into, I think, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, if you read from verse 1 onwards, it says that when David came to Ziklag, he found that the Amalekites took everything from the land. They took his wives, his children, they burned the houses, everything was gone, nothing, there was nothing for him. And he was really, and all the people with him, they mourned and they cried. But we read in 1 Samuel 36, that David found strength in the Lord. David found strength in the Lord. And what did he do? He went and inquired of the Lord, Lord, do I go and pursue the enemies? And God spoke to him, yes, you should go and pursue the enemy. And he defeated them. Dear children of God, we always, when difficult times comes, when problem comes into our life, we always need to look to the word of God. I'm sure that everyone who came to the prayer yesterday, I was strengthened by myself, because we know Pastor was telling about the word of God, how much we should be deeply rooted and grounded to the word of God. When we are deeply rooted and grounded to the word of God, that gives the refuge and strength. Because as Pastor was telling one thing, if the word of God is not in our hearts, if it has not gone deep into our hearts, when troubles comes, when problems comes, we can go astray. We may murmur. We may say, Lord, oh, why I came to this faith? What happened to me? My parents praying, but nothing is happening in my life. But one thing you have to know, if you have the word of God in your life, if you look to the word of God, that is the one which is going to give you faith and make you move on in your life. That's what Psalms 46 reminds us, that God is our ever-present help in trouble. We can trust him for everything that we want. You know, man, friends, everybody may move away from us. They may forget us, but he will not forget us because he is our refuge and strength. Even he is a God who does miracles to us in our life. If we read in the whole Bible, if you read, we can see the many of the saints, they're saying that God is our refuge and strength. When troubles come, you look up to your parents. If you can say a testimony, many of you have testimonies to share that God is our refuge and strength. Especially when I think about Psalms 46, it's really always encouraging me in my life. I want to share a small experience with all of you. Maybe I have shared in the Sunday school, but those of you who are new here also. Psalms 46 verses, you know, that whole chapter is, you know, always encourages me. But Psalms 46 verses 1 to 3, you know, still is fresh in my mind. The reason is that, and also don't forget the word of God. That is our basic. Okay, the word of God, as Pastor Estate told, it should go deep into our hearts. You know, when I was working in Kuwait in 2003, and when I was working with a, you know, engineering company, so we were making the schools and colleges and universities were being constructed there, and I was given in charge of two buildings, and when the excavation just started there, and I got a drawing, and the engineer told, okay, you can go and give this level to how much deep they have to go. And then I told, okay, I just went and, you know, took up the survey level. You know, some people, when you go through the roadside, you can see some of them are looking through some small object. Don't think that they are looking at you. They are taking up the survey of the roads and levels, you know. And I gave the level and I told, okay, go this much deep and do the excavation. That is where the foundation of the house, of that college has to come, of that one of the building has to come. So I gave them, they started the digging. The excavators came there. They started because I told this much, it has to go down. And after 3 or 4 or 5 days, I came back. I just looked up, oh my God, what has happened? It has gone more down. I just took up the level machine and I checked that it has gone down by 40 centimeters. It has gone down from the level which I gave. It gone up to around 40 centimeters. It has gone down the entire place. I suddenly got shocked. The reason is that 40 centimeters going down for a whole area, you need to see the total cost of the concrete of the whole foundation which is going to come. And I was really upset. I thought my engineer, today itself, the termination letter is there. Okay, so I was frightened. I just didn't know what to do. I told one of my friend, he was there. I told him, his name is Thomas. I told Thomas, something happened here like this, what will do? He told, oh, why you gave a wrong measurement? I told them to do the thing, but maybe they heard something else. I was really frightened. But dear children of God, I'm going to say from my life, this is where we have to look up to God. And somebody was saying into my heart, go, because we have small cabins there, you know, it's not offices, it's portable cabins. I went to my cabin. I always keep a Bible there. Children of God, when you go to your schools, I'm going to come to that one. People of God, when we go to work, at our workplaces, wherever we go, we should have a Bible with us. And somebody is telling me to go to your room and just start reading the Word of God. And this Psalms 46 came into my mind. And then just I read the last three verses that, you know, just think that God is your God. But I just stopped or closed the Bible. Still I was so, you know, what is the engineer going to tell? And then suddenly somebody reminded, the Holy Spirit just reminded me, read from 1. And I started reading from verse 1. And then what happened? It's written there. Can somebody say, God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear. A very present help in trouble. What is the next verse? Okay. Even though earth be removed. You know what happened? Before coming to the portal, my friend just told me to go to the engineer and say this mistake has happened to you. So I went to him. He was coming. I was trembling. You know, if we do some mistakes, even in our companies, or how much tension we have. I was having that tension. And then the engineer came and I told him, see, this is what happened. And you know, at that time, he jumped two times like this. Why you took so much of earth from there? He was jumping at me, literally this word. Why you took so much of earth from there? I told him, it's not my problem. I gave them the correct level, but they did like this. He told me, okay, stop all the work. We'll have to decide and then only we will start the work. So for that particular block, the work stopped for 3-4 days. I went back to the portal, to my cabin. I took the word of God. And as we see in verses 2 and 3, what did the engineer say like 2-3 minutes back or 5 minutes back? Why did you take so much of earth from here? And after 5 minutes, the word of God is saying, we will not fear even though the earth be removed from here. This is how children of God, my dear little children, this is how the word of God, but if the word of God was not in my heart, really, I would have been really upset there. But we need to be firmly fixed, rooted and ground in the love and the word of God. And you know what happened? That site work was stopped for some days. And I was told to look after other site. But I was very, very careful. And after 4 or 5 days, the engineer called me. And he told me, go and give this level there. And you have to check what's the level there now. And I went there. I just took that survey machine and I checked. What the level they told to do it now, it's the correct level there. And I went back to the office and inquired what happened. They told that several days back, they came and they had taken the soil from there and they had taken it to study. And they came out with a report that we have given this level, this is a true thing I'm telling, they told that we have given a level, but it is better for the soil to be stable. It is better to go down how many centimeter? 40 centimeter. Can you give a shout, clap to God? It is better to go down 40 centimeter. See, this is how we need to be. I was really thrilled. My friend Thomas, he's a Catholic. He has some belief still now. You know, that is the way that we have to be deeply rooted in the love of God. And from that day onwards, my wife knows, my parents know, my son knows, and some of the Sunday school teachers here know. From that 2003 till this time, wherever I go, even if I come to your house to visit, please ask me one thing. Where is your Bible? This thing is with me till now. Even if I forget my driving license or purse, I will not forget this. Even if I go down to the laundry of our building to put the clothes for washing, I will not go without this. I'm telling you from my heart. This is the third or fourth Bible from 2003, because the all others become wet or, you know, it has gone off. But this is the Bible from 2003, which I am carrying till now. When I was in Canada Post for 6 years, when I was walking for 10, 15 kilometers, this was with me. Not this, another Bible. I told you, it all got torn off because of the sweat and everything. So this was with me. Even now when I go to my job place, after I open my computer, I just read the Word of God. Without there, I won't sit. My dear children of God, you should carry your Bible wherever you are. All the little kids, you have your bags with you. When you go to school, take a small Bible with you. I will check with the treasurer if he can allow some allowance for us to buy a Bible for all of the little kids here. So, ladies, or my dear friends here, for you it's easy because you have a bag. Take the Bible with you. Have a New Testament, small copy of this, wherever you go, take this word. If you carry the Word of God, God is going to carry you wherever you are. And I'm not stopping by this. After several years of this incident, when I was in another company, you know, many of the people got bonus that year. And that time I didn't get a bonus or a hike. You know, if your colleague next city who is sitting there, he gets a bonus or a hike and you are not getting it, you know, how much, if you know how much bad words come from an employee, right? He will say, oh, this company, I worked hard. They did not give me. So that time I was really, you know, just a little disappointed. But then, what is there in my hand? What is there should be in our hand? The Word of God. I just went to the washroom for reading the Bible. You, no place is, you know, a hindrance for you. You can go everywhere. I went to the washroom. I opened the Bible and I got a verse. No good thing shall be withheld from those who love God. No good thing shall be withheld from those who love God. So that strengthened my heart. It gave me the confidence. It gave me the strength that may people get the hike. Maybe your friends get a hike. They may get a promotion. But you are promoted in God's sight. You have been already given the promotion. He has given you the task. He is with you. And the Word of God should strengthen each day in your life. Every time in your life, you should carry the Word. Even when I went for my marriage, the Bible was in my pocket because my wife may leave me, but the Word of God will not leave me, right? So wherever you go, the Word of God should be in your hands. And that is why it's written, Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength. Even though the earth be removed, let everybody say that it is impossible, but look up to God and lean unto Him and He will straighten your path. I know that the time is running. I may not be able to complete what I have prepared for the message today. But let me to go to the other point where we how to need achieve the power. The first one was the joy of the Lord is our strength. The second one is God is our refuge and strength. And the third one is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. We know about the life of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, when we read there, we see that David, he was going to face Goliath. And Goliath was a strong Philistine. He was standing there. He was defeating everybody. But David, he went there. He had nothing in his hands. He just had one thing in his hand. He had that anointing on him. He had the presence of God in him. He had the Word of God inside him. He just went there. And we see there, the Philistine is asking, how is he coming to me? He was teasing. He was mocking at David. But what did David say there? If you read in chapter 17, if we read there, that David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. My dear friends, in the name of the Lord, we are strong. We have that power in the name of the Lord. That name of the Lord is where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to attain the power in the name of the Lord. Wherever you go, in your difficult times, you just say the name of the Lord. Yes, I open this in the name of the Lord. I go forth in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord will lead you and carry you through all impossible things. And He is going to lead you mightily in the coming days. So the first prayer of Paul to his church of Ephesus was, he is praying for power. And how we get this power? The strength of the Lord. the refuge and strength from the Lord. And lastly, the name of the Lord, which leads us each day in our life. The second prayer is the prayer for knowledge. So power we need. We need the prayer. We need knowledge in our Christian life. So I'm not going to make you read the verses, but let me say just the points, and then I need to conclude. So if you read there, how we come, it said how we have to gain the knowledge. We need to understand the length. If you read from Ephesians 18 to verse 19, it's raised there. We need to know the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of God's love for you and me. I know Sunday school kids, they really know this verse because we have practiced it many times in the Sunday school. We did an exercise with that. I know the kids know that one. We said that, what was the exercise? May we understand how wide, how long, how deep, and how high is God's love for you and me. And that's the knowledge that which each one of us should have in our life. The knowledge, the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of God's love for you and me. If you look into breadth, it refers to Christ's love to its vast scope. It extends to the people of every nation and tribe. The breadth of God's love, it extends to every people, to the Gentiles, the Jews, for everyone who is sitting here. The love of God extends. The breadth of God extends. We know, with shortage of time, I'm not going to all the details. We know the parable of the lost sheep. All the 99 sheep were there, but one sheep was lost. But God's love went to that lost sheep to bring him here. We know the story of the prodigal son. The father was waiting on his balcony to receive the lost son with his open arms. We can see that when the son came to him, he just went and hugged him with his arms, and he welcomed him to his house. My dear children of God, that is the breadth of the love of God. And what is the length of the love of God? It refers to the eternal and endless character which begin in the past. The love of God, that is the length. It began in the past. It is continuing now for you and me, and it will take us to eternity. I'm not going to all the points there. And what is the depth? Depth refers to the deep love of Christ descending down in order to save each one of us, you and me. He came down into this world so that you and me would be saved in this world. And what is the height? He came down into this world, but he went onto that cross. He died for you and me, and now he lives in heaven for you and me so that we would be there with him in the coming days. We know that Joseph was in a pit. We know that Jonah, he was under the water, under the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. But even if you are in the deep sea, even if you go down, even if your problems are too deep, God's love will come there and make you uphold in all areas of your life. And so we need to, Paul is praying that we need to understand the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of God's love. So one of the first one is, he's praying for power. He's praying for knowledge. And may I conclude with the last one. He's praying for the fullness of Christ in our life. To be filled in the fullness of Christ. In John chapter 1 verse 16, it reads that, from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. So from his, namma kavante krubayal, krubamel kruba prabichirikkunnu, krubayal, because of his fullness, avante niravinal, namakku krubamel kruba labichirikkunnu. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Don't measure your fullness with this world. Don't measure with the fullness, your fullness, your life with your friends. Don't measure with your neighbors. Don't measure your life with those who are sitting around you. But measure your life with always with that Christ fullness in your life. And that's what in Ephesians 4, can somebody read Ephesians 4 verse 13? Ephesians 4 13. To attain the measure of all the fullness of Christ. And how can we attain this fullness? I'm just reading out these points. By being spiritually minded. According to the knowledge of the Son of God. By being partakers of the divine nature. And escaping the corruption of this world. And by standing perfect in the complete and in the will of God. And that will lead us to the fullness of God. And that fullness will flow out of us each day in our life. Today morning, just when I was just looking at the Facebook, I got a small reading part where it was reading that one guy is going with a cup of coffee. I don't know whether you have read it. He was then somebody knocked him, and the cup just overflowed, and he spilled it. He said, "Why did you spill out the coffee?" So he told, "Somebody hit me up. That's why it spilled." He told, "No, wrong. Because your cup, in your cup there was coffee. That was why it spilled out." You know, the question is a tricky one. Why did you spill out your coffee? So he told that somebody knocked me. That's why the coffee came out. But he said, "No, because there was coffee inside that cup. That's why it spilled out." In the same way, when we have the fullness of Christ in our life, when life problems knock us out, when anything distraction comes to our life, that fullness of Christ should spill out from our life. It should come, and we will know that he or she is a true person in Christ. That's why in Psalms 23, we see that. We read in, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So my dear children of God, may I conclude this message by saying that we should have that power. We should pray for that power. We should pray for the knowledge, and we should pray for the fullness of God to come into our life. And wherever we go, if we carry the word of God with us, if we carry Jesus Christ with us, if he is with us, we are going to see the fullness of God in our life. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were going to be thrown into the fire. They were told several times, if you can just deny that this is God, whoever you serve is God, and you can just worship down before the statue, you will be set free. But they saw the fullness in God. They were deeply rooted and grounded in God. They told, no, we don't need anything. We just need to be obedient to God. And they were thrown into the fire. And you know what happened? The fourth person was there with them. God came himself down for them. And what a joy it might be. They would have been rejoiced in the presence of God. They got that power. They got that knowledge. And they got that fullness because God was in them. In the same way, dear friends, let Christ dwell in our life, each day of our life. So wherever we are, we will be with God in the days to come. May God bless us with these words.